The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Reish Yud Aleph, Shar Dvarim, Sha'avel Aser Bahem. This simon discusses a number of other restrictions that an avel is prohibited to do. The first one is that a avel, a mourner, is not supposed to sit on something high. They're supposed to sit on the ground. Now the kitzer is going to say that an avel needs to sit actually on the ground. However, the Aruch HaShulchan brings a Yushalmi, that the Yushalmi seems to say that samoch lakarka, near the ground, is also considered like being on the ground. And that's how the prevalent custom is to sit on a chair that's below 3 tvachim tall. Now, what exactly is 3 tvachim? So there are different ways of measuring tvachim. There's the famous discussions between the Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim Noya. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, when he discusses how large a mikveh is, so mikveh, the Torah gives certain dimensions of an amma, he basically measured according to the ammas of what he felt today's day people, how long it is, and the amma is basically from the elbow to the middle finger, and he said that's around 24 inches, or actually less. I think his main measurement was more like 21 inches, and then if you divide the amma into tvachim, so it comes out to be around 3.5 inches per tefach, which would come out to be around 11 inches. And the sefer from Rabbi Aaron Felder, he writes over there 12 inches, because again there is some difference in how big the amas are. So basically what we're talking about, according to Rav Moshe, is somewhere between 11 and 12 inches. That's the maximum height that the stool that a mourner sits on could be. Some have the custom to be careful to sit on something one tefach or below, and that is not considered to be me'ikar adin, it's not considered to be required, but it's a custom that some have. Now with this background, we'll begin reading inside from the Kitzer and Sif Aleph. Also, leishev al kol shiva al gabi safsal. It's prohibited for a mourner to sit on a bench during the whole 7 days, al gabi karmukshasais, or on pillows and blankets, ki im al gabi karka, but it should be on the ground. And again, as I mentioned, that the Aruch HaShulchan brings the Yerushalmi that samach karka within 3 tvachim is called karka as well. Achay levizakin, however, in a person that's ill or elderly, sheish lam sar b'yeshiva gav karka, but they're going to have pain by sitting so low. Mutarm lahasim karkatan tachtem, they could put some sort of small pillow under them. Now, the Paiskim all discuss that if a person, it's difficult for them to sit so low, you know, especially, say, a pregnant woman, so then they would be allowed to sit higher. Because, again, any of these restrictions, if it's in a situation of a chayla, a person who's ill, or they're going to have, you know, unnecessary pain from it, so that they would be permitted. I saw an interesting thing in the Sefer Nittig of Rio, that he wants to say that the obligation to sit low is not necessarily all the time, so therefore, if it's difficult for a person, say, when they're eating, to eat low down, then they would be allowed to sit on something higher. As long as, for the most part, they're sitting on a low bench. Now the kitzur continues, Mi yochol leilech v'lamoy, that there's no obligation for a mourner to actually be sitting. If he's more comfortable standing, he could be standing. Ve'en etzarech leishev klal, he doesn't have to sit at all. Rakish v'nachem etzloy tzarech leishev, only when people are coming to comfort him, that the custom is that he should be sitting, because that's the way one accepts condolences. Ve'en osher leishev agabe mito isafso, lishan, it's also prohibited for one to sleep on a bed or a bench, only on the ground. Now the Paiskim discussed that today the prevalent custom is not to sleep on the ground, and the reason is because people are considered to be weaker today than they used to be, and therefore if they're going to sleep the whole week on the floor, it's going to affect them physically. It's too difficult for them. So therefore, again, they're permitted to sleep on a regular bed. Another reason given that I saw brought was that, especially in the cold countries, and you're talking about sleeping on the actual dirt floor, it was very cold, the floor. So therefore, that could also cause a person to catch a cold and become not well. But again, the prevalent custom is for a mourner to sleep in a regular bed, and the reason is, again, because it's considered difficult for people to sleep on the ground, especially today, they're not used to it at all. The Kitzur continues, Aval yochel latzia tacht of karim k'sases, but one could put under themselves pillows and blankets, al karka, to make it more comfortable, k'moisha hu ragel lishka v'mita, just as one does so in the bed. V'yesh matirim lishim v'mita, some do permit sleeping in a bed, as we mentioned, v'chein negin k'tzas, and some do have this custom, v'nesha tivim chalosh, because their strength and their nature is weak, v'havi they're considered to be sick as far as this is concerned. And again, this seems to be the reason for the prevalent custom. So this really concludes the idea of sitting low. Now, in Sif Beis, we're going to discuss an Avil wearing tefillin. Avil b'yom rishon, a mourner in the first day, aslo niach tefillin. We learned from the Pasuk, it says, pe'erach ha'chavush alecha, that your splendor is taken away, and it's referring to a time of mourning. So therefore, the first day of the Shiva, of mourning, one does not wear tefillin. Asur l'niach tefillin. It's prohibited to wear tefillin. Beim shehu yom ha'misa v'kvura, whether it's the day of when the person passed away, and the day of burial, beim shehu yom kvura l'chud, or if it's the day of burial alone. However, v'im nikra b'layla, but if the person was buried at night, asur l'niach tefillin b'yom shel acharav, then one would be prohibited to put on the tefillin the following day, because again, the night and the day are connected. But yom sheni, but the following day, menichin la'achar netzachama, once it becomes daybreak, one could put them on. So again, the halacha over here is that the day that a person's relative passed away, or the day of burial, both, one does not wear tefillin, whether the burial is on the same day as the passing or not. And obviously, if the burial's not on that day, then he anyways would not wear tefillin, because he would have the status of an oinin. Now, v'yayim shmua kraiva, now if within the 30 days he hears that the relative passed away, k'yayim misa k'vura damya, so that has the same status of the day of a person's passing. So even though he finds out that 10 days ago the relative was buried, but since when he finds out about it, that's within 30 days, so that has the status of the day of the death and the interment. So therefore, he does not put on tefillin that day. However, if one's relative passed away during Yontif, so one cannot observe the Shiva, or he hears about the passing on a time that he can't observe it, like, say, on Yontif. So the first day of Shiva, which is going to be pushed off until after Yontif is concluded, he wears tefillin, because again, this idea of an oval not wearing tefillin is connected to either the day of the actual burial or the day when a person, the news is broken to them within 30 days of the passing. But if it's the beginning of the Shiva, which was pushed off for some other reason, then the fact that it's the first day of the Shiva still does not absolve him from wearing tefillin. And obviously for the rest of the Shiva, an oval does wear tefillin. Now, Siv Gimel addresses something discussed in the Gemara. They would talk about atifas harayish, that the head would be covered, the way of mourners, and there's also kviyas hamita, that the beds would be overturned a certain way. These are all signs of mourning. Kviyas hamita, overturning the bed, is not done today. And the reasons given is because, first of all, we don't have the same type of beds that they had, and it's not really, wouldn't be really considered a sign of mourning in where we live. It seemed to be also that it was discontinued because the non-Jews looked at it as like some sort of witchcraft type of practice, and they were superstitious about it. So because of that, they had to discontinue the practice. But for all these reasons, it is not done today. The Nitya Gavriel does bring that some have a custom made perhaps to switch beds, to sort of make it look like some sort of simon. But again, the widespread custom is just not to do anything different at all. Now, in the same way, there's a discussion here about Atifa Suresh. In those days, they would wear different types of head coverings. They would cover their head in a way of mourning. So, what about today? So, the Kitzur continues in Siv Gimel and says, Atifa Suresh, covering the head, ain't I given this. In our countries, we don't practice it. When we call Malcolm Yeshlinik Batifa Ksas, but once you do it a little bit, so we don't cover our heads with those type of coverings at all in the European countries, the Hainu Limshech. To do it like to put the hat lowered towards the eyes, the whole shiva. Chutzmi Shabbos, but not on Shabbos, obviously. We shouldn't have a double Shabbos for Hesa, because as we're going to learn more about, on Shabbos one does not do public signs of mourning. Now, the Nitzik Avril brings a number of interesting things about this. He brings that Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach Satzal from Yishalayim when he was sitting shiva. So he did this. He put this hat down a little bit. But he also brings a different Malkiel that writes that it's not proper to do it when people are coming to menachem you, coming to console you, because you know it's this, you know, if your face is going to be covered, the person trying to talk to you, they're trying to have a conversation, it's not so nice. So he says it should be done the rest of the time, but not during the time of the avelim. And Nitzik Gavriel suggests a very logical suggestion that one could lower the brim a little bit, lower the hat a little bit, to show some signs of mourning. But again, it doesn't have to be to the point that it would make a person who's coming to be menachem them, to console them, to feel uncomfortable. Now, the Nitzik Gavriel also mentions that if a person's uncomfortable, then they could remove the hat. And for the most part, from the places that I've seen, you know, many people when they sit shiva, they're not really wearing anything except obviously a yarmulke, because again it's very uncomfortable to sit the whole day in a hat. And it could be also, I was wondering that this idea of putting the hat down would be only when one is normally wearing a hat, so then they're showing that the sign of mourning. But if when a person say in the house, they anyways wouldn't be wearing a hat, so perhaps there's no obligation to wear a hat just to wear it low. But whatever the case is, if a person is uncomfortable, they don't have to be wearing something on the head, an extra thing, like the hat, and that seems to be, again, the prevalent custom. Now, the Kitzur moves on to talk about wearing freshly laundered clothing, and also washing clothing. And the Kitzur writes the following in Sif Dalet. Also, a little bush bag of mechubas. An avil, a mourner, is prohibited to wear a freshly laundered piece of clothing, filuk sinus, even like a tunic or a shirt, but shiva during the 7 days, v'afilu chavit Shabbos, and even for the honor of Shabbos, afilu sadinim umatzois hamita umitbachay seyadaim, and not only the clothing, but even various sheets and hand towels. Also, latziyah hamechubas, and one should not wear freshly laundered. Now, there's a tshuva written by the Menchas Yitzchak about, say, a person goes to a hotel, they're staying somewhere, and obviously you go to a hotel, they give you fresh linens. So he has a whole discussion about it. He seems to say that since you're not laundering them and there really is no other option, and it's not considered that you're really disregarding the mourning, but it's just the way it is when you go to a hotel. So he says that it's permitted for a mourner to sleep on them. The kids are continuing and says Ach l'chvayt Shabbos, but for the honor of Shabbos, mitzvah latziyah l'shulchan, but one could put on the table mitzvachais mechubasis mechubad, one could put honorable tablecloths and these types of things in order to honor the Shabbos. Sifei continues talking about these halachas and says the following: the chabes ksusay ba'artzmai, for one to launder their own clothing, afilu hanichay ad achar shiva, even to leave it for after shiva is aser, it's prohibited mishum malacha, because it's extra work. And this is basically the same halacha that we find in the laws of the 9 days, that a person is not supposed to be doing laundry, even if they're not going to wear the freshly laundered clothing during that period of time. And again, those are laws of the Avelis that are very much learnt from these halachas. M'haysuk susoy bidei acherim. Now, what if someone else had their article of clothing that was given to them to wash? We turn l'chabson k'mashar m'lacha b'kablanas, so they would be allowed to do it because the person washing it is being paid for the job, and therefore they're not being paid to wash it specifically during Shiva. They're doing it simply because it's most convenient for them. So therefore, the oval doesn't have a restriction if their piece of clothing is being washed by another person. Sivav continues, Mituk Shatakvu Aveliyois Zuachazu. If a person, unfortunately, was sitting Shiva for one person, and right again another relative died, and they have to sit Shiva again, Mutu Lachabis Ksusa Bemaim Lavad, they could wash their clothing in only water. Avaloi be'efer virus suchadami b'na with different types of soaps and detergents, ulavsha and to wear it, because again, Chazal gave a leniency for a person who unfortunately has to do a double shiva, that obviously they have to have a chance to wash themselves up and clean their clothing a little bit, though not with soap, in order, because they shouldn't have to go such a long time without cleaning these items. Now, there is a discussion about Bega Chilzeya, things that become soiled with sweat, right? So, first of all, if an oval, if their garment becomes sweaty, then they could change it. But the question is, does one have to have a pre-worn undergarment if the purpose of that garment is only to absorb sweat? So, if you remember earlier, when we learned the laws of Kriya when rending the garments, when a person hears about the relative that passed away, so there was a concept there of Bega Chalzeya, that a garment that's the specific purpose of the garment is just to absorb sweat and to worn directly on the skin, and it does not have a status of a garment and cannot be torn for Kriya. From there, it would seem that if it's not considered a garment, then one would not have, say, necessarily a prohibition of changing it during the Shiva. The Aruch HaShulchan over here, it's brought that he says that one is allowed to change socks and other types of undergarments, because again, those things are just there to absorb the sweat, and therefore one may be allowed to change them. And this is especially true, you know, today when people shower and change their garments so much more often than they used to, so a person, it would really bother them, and we find that in all these halachas, if something really bothers a person, let's say was sitting low and any of these other things, if a person's really, really uncomfortable, then they're not obligated. So therefore, these two ideas together, first of all, a Bega Chalzeya, a garment that's worn just to absorb sweat, is not really considered necessarily a garment, and also the fact that today it's called a tsar, it's called a major discomfort, so those will be reasons why one could change those garments if necessary during the Shiva period. Now the Kitzur continues in Siv Zayin. La'achar Shiva Shleishim. Now what happens between when the 7-day period of Shiva concludes, but it's still during the 30 days of mourning, Midina Eina Asr Lulbay Shalat Siyatachtav Ela Begin Maguats. Really, according to the strict halacha, only like a very starched and very well laundered garment, that'll be prohibited. And the definition of this gihutz mentioned over here, this better type of cleaning, the Kitzur discussed in parentheses, gihutz yesh arm kemashmai. Some say it's like what it sounds like, the Haino Balash and Ashkenaz Gemalning let. He says different German words. Yesh arm dehu So it seems that it means that the first way is like a very intensive type of cleaning, you know, maybe like we say like dry clean and pressed and starch perhaps. And the second one is just simply washed with detergent, washed very well. And also we're talking about a white and new garment. So again, the idea is, let's say a person has a shirt, a cotton shirt, and they send it to the dry cleaners, and they bleach it, and they starch it, and so it's all has that good feeling of like a brand new garment. So then that's something that would be an issue mikra din according to the strict halacha. Whereas something in a regular piece of clothing that a person throws into the washing machine and they wash with some detergent, so that wouldn't be necessarily the same thing. However, says the Kitzur, well, noyagin, the custom is lesser gamba mechumas afilush b'laygiutz, but the custom is to prohibit a washed garment, even though it's not pressed and starched, unless someone else wears it for him a little bit before. But if it's only washed with water, then one does not have to wear it for them before. So again, the custom is that during that during the shloshim they try not to wear garments that have been freshly laundered. Sivches im einay machlef l'tanagel l'tzarich. If a person changes the garment only for a reason, he got shak soyna sh'olav b'luchleches, because it's dirty or mishmar bovia, he feels uncomfortable, mixed up. Mutar afilu teich shiva b'chol. One is allowed to do it even during the shiva, and even though it's not Shabbos. Im lov sh'achat tchila. Again, if someone wore it, so it's slightly worn, even though it's pretty much a new garment, one will be allowed to do it even during the shiva. Sivtes. Kibus teich shloishim. So mutar l'chabes u'lagayis l'achar shiva. One is allowed to wash their clothing after the shiva, l'lavshim l'achar shloishim. In other words, the prohibition of doing work is only during the 7 days. So therefore, after shiva, one could do the work of pressing and cleaning and starching the garments. They just have a prohibition of wearing it. L'lavshim l'achar shloishim, or l'lavshim afil teich shloishim l'achar shiva l'acher. They would also be allowed to wear it during the 30 days if someone else would wear it first. It's also brought that children's clothing, just like we find in during the 9 days and on Chol HaMoed, that they commonly get dirty, so therefore one would be allowed to wash them during Shiva. And even if, unfortunately, the children are available, the children are mourners, but again, children are not restricted in these things, so therefore we're permitted to wash it for them and to dress them with it. Sif Yud. Also, lo ba'ish teich shloishim b'gdei Shabbos, afilu b'Shabbos. One is prohibited from wearing during the 30 days Shabbos clothing, even on Shabbos. Now, it's brought, as Rabbi Felder brings in his work on Avelos, I believe from Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, that we're talking about clothing that if a person's regular clothing would be disgraceful for Shabbos, right, a person's working clothing, let's say, then one should not wear that on Shabbos. What we're talking about here is something that's a fancy piece of clothing, so then that should not necessarily be worn, according to the Kitzer. But something that would be degrading to wear on Shabbos, that one should not wear. When we call shekain lil b'ish begadim chadashim, and definitely not to wear new clothing. And for a parent, the custom is not to wear new clothing the whole 12 months. Achim tzarech lahem, but if one needs them, yitin l'achar l'lavshin t'chila sh'tayim ha'shlosh yamim. So what he should do is he should have someone else wear them for a couple days. And if you notice here, he says for a few days, so that would take away the newness from them, and then they would be allowed to wear them. Sif Yudalef. Isha b'sech shloshim, a woman who is during the 30-day period of mourning, v'afil b'sech shiva l'aveila, even or during the 7 days of mourning, Shekiyah Zman Alechas V'Shabbos L'Beis HaKnesses L'Achal Eidosa. That it came the time that for her to go to the shul after her giving birth. What he's referring to here is that there's a custom, some still practice it today, that after a woman has a child, so the first time that they go out of the house, they go to shul for the custom is to go out for a mitzvah, and it's considered to be a happy occasion. So now she is during the shiva or the shloshim, and she needs to go to shul in order to do this, to go for the first time after the child was born. And what was the custom? It's a special Shabbos for us, like a yantif. And she's expected to be dressed nicely, to be wearing nice clothing and jewelry. So she is permitted to wear Shabbos clothing. So the point is she could go a step up. But not such fancy clothing that she would wear on Yantif. So she shouldn't lose her seriousness and forget about the mourning. And she wouldn't have to either change her place. We're going to learn that one's supposed to change their place when they sit in a shul, perhaps even on Shabbos. But here she doesn't have to. And the bottom line over here seems to be that since this is a special day for her, and if she's not going to, and if she's going to go in her plain clothing, she's going to feel uncomfortable, and it's going to sort of ruin her joy. So therefore, she's allowed to. So this is also another important point that, again, this is perhaps why, say, some Avelim mourners, let's say they may be more lenient as far as what they wear, because, again, if it's a person's going to go to work or go to a meeting and they're going to be wearing something that doesn't look respectable, so then they're going to be uncomfortable, and that is something that's a consideration. And that's why over here, we find that she's allowed to go wearing the proper things. Sifyud Beis. Also, look at Leach Sarakosh Leishim. A mourner is prohibited from cutting the hair all 30 days. Bein Ser Reisha, whether it's the head, Bein Ser Zekonoi, or whether it's the beard, Bein Ser Shal Kalmakam, whether it's hairs on other parts of the body as well. But also, the Imai, also, look at Leach Atsha Igor Chaverov. For a parent, it extends even further than the Shiva. Until she garbu chaveru, that literally means the friends sort of say, "Listen, you know, your hair is too long." Bashir gar, what is that? So yesh b'machlekes apayskim. There's a difference of opinion. V'noigem v'ninus elu. The custom is she'im agalchin kol shnei masur chaydish. At the entire 12 months, they don't take a haircut. If not, if there's a need, kigon shemachbed olav sairai, that the hair is just too much. Or if he's going between non-Jews, and he would look not proper, unkept, then he would be allowed to do so. Because you don't need anyone to actually tell him that it's too long. But the point is that if he's overgrown to the point that he's different than other people, that one would say, hey, look, this person's so different. He's permitted to shave. As long as it's after 30 days. So basically, what we have over here is a concept that throughout the year after a parent, one's supposed to not really take a haircut more than is really necessary. Now, what is this idea of a shir ga'ara? So, again, according to the description of the kitzur, you're talking about the person's really growing his hair pretty long. Now, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's atzal writes in Igros Moshe and other places that's brought from him that in those days, again, hair cutting was not something that was done as often. So therefore, you know, a person could go for a few months without a haircut, and that was normal. So therefore, the Shi'ir Ga'ara is going to be much longer. He says today, basically, if a person goes double time, you know, a person gets a haircut every 3 weeks, he goes 6 weeks, something like that, so then one would be allowed to take a haircut. This is what Moshe writes. Because it continues with if Yud Gimel, Kishayim Shasha Legaleh Kal Shloshim, just as one's prohibited to shave their hair all 30 days, Kach also looked at Siparna Bakli, one's prohibited to cut their nails with a Kli, with a utensil, with a scissors, Aval Biyadav, or with their hand, or Bashinav, or with their teeth, Mutter, Afil Taych Shiva, even if they're doing 7 days. It seems that only one's doing it with a Kli, so it's like a very nice cut. So that's what the problem is. What if he is a mayel? He does circumcisions. So we know that a mayel uses his thumb, fingernails to do the priya, to help out in the process. But he's going to have to fix his fingernails for this purpose. So the kitzur says, also l'sake hatziparnayim l'tzarech priya, he should not do it, unless there's no other mayel. Elim kein she'en kamayel achar. If there's no other mayel, then he would be allowed to. V'osmuter. Afil b'sech shiva. Even during the 7 days. V'isha she'eru tvilasa l'achar shiva. Now, what about a woman who needs to go to the mikvah? So again, women before they go to the mikvah cut their nails. Teich shloshim, if it's within 30 days. So tamar l'isha nachar sh'tiktsay tzipor nails. So if it's easy for a non-Jew to cut her nails for her, the kitzur recommends doing that. V'lekin achris, if not, tiktsay l'israelis, then that should be done, could be done by a Jew. Because again, at the end of the day, it's for the need of a mitzvah, it's not for pleasure, so therefore, it will be permitted if there's no other option. Sif Yudal. Mutar l'sarek roisha b'masrek, afilu teich shiva. The kitzur permits one to comb the hair during shiva, because again, even if hairs do come out, but that's really unintentional. Sif Tezvav. Noyagin, the custom is, she'avu m'shanu m'kame b'sakneses k'chol shloshim, that they change their seat in shul. Hul'achar av v'imai, and that's for 30 days, hul'achar av v'imai, and for a parent, 12 months. V'shinu makim, what does it mean to change a place? Does it mean just to move over one seat? He says, no. L'chol ha'pachos, rachuk arba amas mimekaymai, it has to be at least 4 cubits from his place, which is like 6 feet, according to the measurements we mentioned at the beginning of the shir. Ulamakam should yoser rachak ma'aron kaddish m'makayim, and that which should be further away from the aron. Meaning to say, in a shul, what's the more prominent seat? Closer to the aron. So therefore, if you're going to move up, right, the guy was sitting in the back, and all of a sudden he's sitting on the mizrach, he's sitting in a very prominent seat, then this is not really the point of changing your seat. Your point is to show mourning, not to show honor to yourself. So therefore, the idea is that you should change your seat further away, and therefore, that's the way one shows mourning. There is a discussion, what about on Shabbos, because we know one does not do outward expressions of mourning on Shabbos. So on the one hand, you know, a seat is a public thing. On the other hand, you know, many times, a person, you know, comes like the shul, or someone takes a seat, so he sits somewhere else. So there's a different custom as far as that. From the kitzur before, it does seem that one does change their place on Shabbos. But again, we'll discuss this more when we talk about avails on Shabbos. But again, there are different customs as far as if one does have to change the seat on Shabbos or not.